is the coordinating committee the right place for this? Or is it governance? I mean, I'm just throwing this out over here. I know governance has a lot on its plate, but it does need to get resolved at the same time with that delay.
I just wanted to contribute something. I'm not on the governance committee, so therefore I won't have a voice there. But I was on the board at the time it happened. And the idea really was not to exclude, I don't know the specific position. The idea was to exclude people who are actively involved in government. And in a way, it's because, for example, if somebody steps down before the term is over and somebody is appointed, so in effect, it's not a minor position. You could be selected, you know, from I don't know, it happened in New Jersey recently, from vice governor, whatever position, to governor. You're appointed to the position temporarily until the election. So I just want to say that the spirit was not to prevent contact with some kind of governmental structure, but rather, I remember only one individual voted against it. It was somebody who actually holds political position now. So it was on the blanket, that was the spirit of it, opposition to participation in government, but certainly to prevent individual whose clearly primary function is to serve government from having, an influential role on the board.
Okay, Deb?
You called on me, right?
Yeah.
I feel like I agree. It wasn't to keep petty or small officials off of service. It was to prevent the state, people who run the state, from running the station. And I think it should be referred to governance because that's the committee that will be the subcommittee that will be looking at that as a bylaw to clarify that and be much more precise so that we don't have these confusions.
Okay, so there is a referral now on the floor. Bob?
I support referring this to governance. And just for everyone's reference, I'll just read it. It's only one sentence. It's actually part of a sentence in Article 4, Section 2. When it's talking about eligibility to run for the position of delegate, it says, no person who holds any elected or appointed public office at any level of government, federal, state, or local, or as a candidate for such office, shall be eligible for election to the position of delegate. So I think the question is, how do we interpret that in cases like the situation that we're dealing with? So I think that's exactly what the governance committee is here to advise us on. But I'd also like to ask, there's two other former members of the interim Pacifica National Board who are here with us, so maybe if Rob and Teresa could weigh in on what your recollection is what the intent was. Was it for a situation of a person appointed by the mayor to an unpaid board? Do you think that was meant to be covered by the language I just read?
No, it was. As a matter of fact, we had a discussion about this. At the time this issue was raised, Marion Barry, the former mayor of Washington, was on the board, and to be perfectly frank, we were at the time we were still in conflict. This provision was brought up to some extent to prevent people like Marion Barry from being on the board. There was a rubric for this ruling, and that was that people that are in the position of making policy at the governance that were state elected officials or municipal government officials would have a conflict when it came to reporting on the actions of government. So that was the rubric. There was actually extensive discussion that said, well, if somebody is appointed by an elected official to a board, a committee, or a commission, should that rule them ineligible from becoming a delegate? And the discussion was, no, it should not. But the language was not well constructed. It went by, and we have the situation before us now. But the intent and the discussion was very clearly to rule ineligible people that were elected officials.
One suggestion that I'd like to make, if we do refer this to the governance committee, that folks that were part of that process be available to help to sort of be advisors to that process, just in terms of explaining further what the intentions were and just being able to be kind of a support. So we do have a referral on the floor.
I just wanted to add to that in the discussion. It might be worthwhile to start drafting a line of clarification for the bylaws convention.
Okay. I just wanted to say that I agree that I don't believe that this is out of order at all. I don't believe that that's what they mean by an elected official. I just want a ruling from the PNB so we can stop talking about it.
Yes, definitely. Teresa, did you have anything to add?
Please. Yes, I agree with Rob Robinson wholeheartedly, and I also want to remind people that the instance that we're discussing, this person actually took it to the election supervisor before she even ran and said, hey, I'm on this board, what do you think, and was told it was not a problem. So there was kind of like a ruling on it. I'm sure this person, while we're in the process of making this decision, would be happy to either step back or take a leave of absence from that board or whatever they need to do. I also do want to remind people that if we're too strict about this, or if we allow this ruling for people who opportunistically use it to go after people, we would probably prevent a lot of people from running for our boards or other boards. We have talented individuals on our board, and we want other talented individuals. And if you're on a board, for example, just the thought of kind of being smeared or whatever might prevent you from even running for a local station board. So we do have to be careful that this could not be abused. And it would be nice if a person asked the elections supervisors for advice, that, you know, then it wouldn't be questioned after they made that decision.
Definitely. Okay. Well, if there's no further discussion on the matter, I'd like to move to a vote.
Madam Chair, I actually have a question of Wendy from her comments. She said that she wanted a PNB decision. Were you looking for that decision today, or are you comfortable?
I'm not going to vote against the referral to governance. I mean, if we had one today, I thought that'd be great, but we need to look into it.
Okay, because the only reason I was thinking of referring this is because I think it's not just KPFT, I think it's all five stations, and I think we need to look at it from a holistic perspective and kind of like resolve this wherever it goes, and not just like patchwork type resolutions. But if KPFT feels that they need something now, maybe that's something that also we need to take a look at. That's all I'm bringing up.
I think the intent yesterday when we put the item on the agenda was to be able to then refer it to governance for further discussion and kind of to vet it and to come back to the PNB with that decision. Right. Yes, Deb?
I was going to suggest a substitute motion that we accept the ruling of the election supervisors who made them at the time in this particular case, and refer this to government's, even the subcommittee on bylaws, so that this can be clarified and not have a problem in the future. But that would satisfy getting this off the table and closure for this particular issue, and it would require them looking into it and rewriting that section.
Is that a point of information?
That was a substitute motion.
That's a substitute motion. Then.
Is there a second?
Discussing?
Was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
You'll second it?
Yeah,
that's okay. Right.
Madam Chair. I want to make clear that although I agree with the spirit that...
I apologize for being late.
Okay. I need to have the motion. We're holding wages.
Okay. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, Wendy's
writing
it.
Yeah. Although I understand the spirit that you want to get off the table, I believe this is something important. Though. This is acknowledging that we're living in a situation where in many cases, particularly federal government now, that we're facing all hostile forces. And we have to be very careful. And so although I would agree with Teresa that this can be abused, I think it's a legitimate concern, and we should keep this.
I'm not opposed to it going to government.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying in general that this is a legitimate concern that we have, and that we should take it seriously.
Yes.
Although I'm sympathetic to what Deb Shafto was suggesting, I am really reluctant to just make a decision today without having, you know, looked into what was the ruling of the supervisor, what were the circumstances. I don't think we can do that as a board today. I think it should go to the committee, let them look into it, and come back to us. I don't think any harm is done by waiting.
Okay.
I have clarification.
Yes.
Is that committee actually doing work?
Yes.
The governance committee?
They have a lot on their plate.
All committees.
I mean, but they're actually meeting and doing the work.
Yeah.
David?
Okay.
Well, that's an interpretive thing.
subjective.
We didn't subjective. Thank you. That was the word. We didn't meet last month because it conflicted with the board meeting. We didn't meet again this month because it conflicted with the board meeting. And many of the committee members have been very occupied with other committees. So several of our working groups, the one on contracts and the one on code of conduct, have not made appreciable progress since the Berkeley meeting. So we do have a lot on our plate right now. I'm hoping that we do a better job now that the budget issues are behind us, even though that's not directly relevant to the committee. It's occupying a lot of time.
Okay.
I have a lot of committee members.
Thank you.
Steve.
I'd like to agree with Bob and suggest that we refer this matter.
Okay.
So I'd like to call the question.
All right. No. The question's been called. Are there any objections to ending debate?
So did the substitute motion fail, or that's what
no,
we're going
to do? No, the question's been called on all pending motions.
On substitute.
Okay, seeing none, we will first handle the substitute motion, Deb Shafto's motion, which I guess moves that we uphold the ruling of, and can we write this down, Deb, on
yes,
the motion
slips? Yes,
okay.
And restate it, too.
Thanks. Do you want to just restate it?
Move that we uphold the ruling of the elections supervisors who were brain dead, who were active during that election, and that we refer this to the bylaws committee, subcommittee, for immediate work and rewording so that it's clear.
Okay, and it's, would that be just the governance committee, and then they can see
yeah,
what
sure.
subcommittee?
The governance.
Okay. Okay, is everyone clear on the motion?
I'm clear on that, but I'm not clear on what the other motion would be if this fails.
The other motion is just to refer to governance and not have us act on the issue of KPFT right now.
Okay. Or Shrell's motion.
Yeah, Shrell's motion. So, is everyone clear on the substitute? Okay, can I get a show of hands? All those in favor? One, two, three, four, five, six. All those opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Okay, the motion fails. We'll now go to the main motion, which is Sherelle's motion.
What was the vote, Madam Chair?
7-6.
Six yes, seven no. The motion fails.
Okay, here's what the main motion is. I move that the PNB take up the issue of what constitutes an elected or appointed public office in the Pacifica Bylaws, Article 4, Section 2A, as it pertains to eligibility to serve on the LSB.
No.
That's not what the motion
I apologize.
Is.
I'm sorry. The motion before that was to refer your motion to the Governance Committee.
Right.
And that referral was made by Fadi.
Yes.
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 And was seconded by...
Sorry, I think.
I seconded it.
Okay. So we're entertaining now the motion to refer the Wendy's motion to the Governance Committee. Okay? Is everyone clear? Sorry for the confusion. All those in favor of referring this to Governance? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. All those opposed?
Put your hand down, please.
David, you can't vote twice.
Yes, you can.
Okay. And any abstentions? Seeing none, the motion carries. We're now going to move on to the discussion around the FY06 budget. We will begin with a report from the CFO.
Yes. We have delayed a motion from last night about raise.
Yeah, we're going to discuss that.
Bit, accept David's suggestion to put it a bit further back.
Okay.
As part of the budget.
Agreed on time certain.
Yes. Lonnie, I don't know if you... I know that you were watching the PMB meeting last night via the web. We did create sort of time certain, I guess, slots for each of the reports as part of this. And so you have 20 minutes.
Okay.
Thank you. We don't do that, do we?
Well, it's better if you guys could scoot a little bit away from the screen. You're perfect.
I mean, we could just set it. Okay, I'll add it to the end of tomorrow's agenda.
Brian, I'd much rather look at you on the screen. Are there two screens?
Yes.
Don't we have two screens? Oh. That's the only one we've got?
I've been told I can't get off that train yet, so...
Okay, thank you. Close enough for rock and roll, as we used to say.
Lonnie, you have 10 minutes left. 10 minutes left.
It's not a PA, it's just to record you.
Why don't you take a chair, sit down, and close by.
Looking at budgets, Not too bad. So we're talking about revenue increases in the 7.5% range, and let's look at it. Now we're comparing 05 to 06, 05 projected actuals, or what we call a forecast, with 06 and the difference. We call it the delta. The delta here is listener support up 935,000 between the 2 years compared, or 7.8%. Total revenue up 1.25 million. Comparing the 2 years, 7.5%. And I did include salaries, total salaries. This includes benefits and a lot of other things. But up $960,000, and that's 13%. And salaries gross, which is without the benefits, without the all the stuff, just plain salaries, up 12%. Administration costs, up $488,000, 16%. Program, $212,000, 13%, so forth. Total expenses are up 7.5. Why would expenses only be up 7.5% when you look at some of these categories, they're up more than that? Answer, that is we drastically reduced the amount in that cash and capital section by $500,000. Because in 05, we did have considerable expenses in that area. 06, that is not the case. So it accounts for the for the downdrift. I caution here. Look at the numbers and salaries, administration, the program, whatnot. This is what we have to be careful about. Expenses going up each year are a time bomb. You have to be careful. Even though your revenue is up, so are your expenses. Now, we go into next year and cash and capital expenses are flat. That's where we may see the impact, right? Right now, we're benefiting from a reduction in that area. But next year, maybe we won't. Maybe it'll be flat, and then we'll see the areas where we're talking about.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but what is included in the category administration expenses?
That would be board expenses for each station, what their share is. I could pull it up. Insurance.
I don't want to interrupt you.
It is for the network. It's going to be all administrative. When I go to the budget specific, I can show it to you.
Okay.
This is a station look, PRA. This is the forecast for FY05. Oh, no, I'm on my knees now. It looks real bad down here. PRA, 40,000. You see the comparison, the detail of the 703. I won't go to it unless someone has a specific question.
Lottie, do you want a chair?
That would be great.
Sounds like a better solution.
We're fine over here.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Sit down.
A bottle of liquor.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
that's bad. No, it's don't worry. Don't worry.
We can move.
We can see it.
Well, this is what we got. How we want to know what's in that 703 that I mentioned before. This is a breakout between, you can see PRA, positive variance 2,000. National Office, we're off, what's that, 59,000? Yes. A, off 55, but that's, A has a special circumstance. They over-budgeted because they were thinking about putting some capital in there. So their actual monthly expenses were not the 433,000. So A is a negative variance, I think, you take with a grain of salt. They over-budgeted. K will come within 111,000, but K has some extra revenue that I think will come in with the September numbers, and that will change. I think it will get better because you guys did some work in September, and that was revenue that flew through. This is August. This is August projections. T is another special case. T found out in September that they will have considerable income from the CPB increase. And I think a T's number is not indicative of how they will actually do. I ended up in a deficit for the year. You see that number, 164. We had projected about $150,000 need for I, it's about $164,000 here. And that is, as I say, an August projection. W looks very good. Now, remember, on W, the 198 is actually a case where W had did not need to use a prior year dollars. So they looked here it says 198. It's close to 145, their actual. So this issue of prior year expenses and prior use of funds from prior year does go through our budgeting process, and I want to spend time on it in the question period.
If I could just ask something about that screen. The figures under budget and actual are all both underlined, unlike the rest. Is there a reason for that?
No, I swear.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I just wasn't.
No, I don't know.
Special attention.
I didn't do that. I don't know.
Highlight.
No, yeah, I was trying to single out K, right? No, actually not. I don't know.
Okay, no problem. I just wasn't sure if there was some other reason.
If there was.
Keep on going, Lonnie.
The only station that didn't include prior year surplus.
That's right.
All those other numbers include prior year surplus as part of the apparent bottom line, as part of the bottom line, i.e. the apparent surplus.
A is true for A and true for W. Okay, that's true. that this prior issue is, can be confusing. I might go over it, but I don't want to spend all the time on it. The point is we're up revenue 7.5. Expenses are up too. Again, expenses taken with a grain of salt, in that the expenses are reduced by the use of prior year funds. That's what Stasius needed to do to cover APs from prior year. They used some of current year funds to cover bills that flew through from prior year. And it's in that cash and capital section. You can see how much they're planning to use. Now, the point I want to make here on closing is simple. Not closing, but almost closing, is that we're breaking even at this point. That expense revenue's up 7.5, so are expenses. Now, you can do that for a while in any organization, but you're not building your reserves necessarily, and at least on the budgetary level. And you need to look to the future. What are you going to do? After you break even in year one, if you have extraordinary expenses, a bad drive, or new legal expenses, God forbid, or you have other unpredictable, whatever, your safety margin, as we say in finance, is pretty slim. You got to have a safety margin. Because if one station, and we know this to be a true statement, does not do well, where none of us will be doing well in the long run. None of us will be doing well. Or that old fear about, boy, if one station is doing badly, they'll come and take money from other stations, or the national office will take money to help pay off bills, illegal, what have you. That will happen sooner or later. Because we are one network. Unless we are willing to contemplate a station going down the tubes and having the revenue go away from that station. If that occurs, it's worse for all of us, believe me. If the revenue weren't there for, in the sense of a station going away, that's worse. You don't necessarily even want to go there because everybody else will be impacted, whether they plan to or not. Now, I won't go over the 1 month and its discontents. The position I think is that we need to have a minimum of a half a month for stations as a goal each fiscal. Why? Because each station is going to need, if you end up with $0 on September 30th, aside from your savings from prior years, you're going to need at least the first 2 weeks in October, first 3 weeks for many stations, because there's no revenue generally first 3 weeks in October. You have to have that money by the end of the fiscal. If you don't have those funds, you'll be borrowing it from your savings. And some stations have savings. For them, that isn't a big deal. But some don't. And that is the problem. Because they start. If this budget proves to be in error, that is, there are revenues don't come in as predicted, then that makes that 1 month reserve important. If expenses are higher than anticipated over a whole year, that makes that 1 month important. My recommendation, reaffirm that current policy of 1 month. Remains the policy of the board. The board did affirm it reaffirm it in April. But, and the proviso that waivers can be made and should be made in individual cases. You don't want to have the 1 month policy create layoffs artificially or create difficulties. So we should be willing to be flexible. I support that, no problem. All right. My final recommendations. I think two things. And I'll skip the standard stuff, affirm the CFO stuff. But I think we need to deal with the financial impact of our declining and aging audience. We have a turnover rate of 50% at some stations. People surf right through us back and forth to NPR and other stations. So our ability to retain listeners is an issue at Pacifica. We should have a member retention strategy. And we also need to couple that, I think, with a low-income membership strategy. What I'm proposing, and I'll come back with the details on it, is that Pacifica look at membership services that will attract members and keep them, in the sense that a lot of membership organizations already do this. They offer everything from low-cost insurance to advisory kinds of services. I think that our mission is compatible with looking at what a membership strategy for low-income members might be. We don't have as many as we need. And our aging and our older, less than loyal members are at that age where we need to look to replace them. And there's a proposal we'll come back with what might be entailed in a low-income membership strategy that will help Pacifica grow and maintain. All right, that would be a quick summary.
Finance Committee report, and then go into discussion.
This may address some issues. If you have questions, I'm sure Lonnie can stay close.
Thank you, Lonnie.
And leave that presentation available.
As Dave is setting up, I have a question for Lonnie. I could be wrong, but I thought that we had always wanted to have a 3-month reserve. So,
what is mine?
So.
Are we going to open up a question? Because I'll have
okay.
To.
Okay. Just not sure. Just like what happened to the 3 months?
There will be no voting on this issue, so you might as well.
All right, Dave.
Enjoy.
Drink our coffee.
Let me see.
Oh.
David, is there a print copy of this in one of our binders? Do you know which?
It's in section 3.
Right here.
Towards the end.
Because it's too hard to see.
Yeah, it's the last report in section 3.
Thank you.
I'm starting with the punch line. The punch line is our daily
stretch line. Let me get it.
I'm starting, if I put it here, is that good enough sound? Can you hear me if it's here, or do I need to hold it? Do you want me to hold it? Okay. So we're starting with the punchline first. As everybody knows, the National Finance Committee reviews the budget and makes recommendations on the approval of the budget to the PMB. We had a marathon meeting on September 18th, which is just over 5.5 weeks ago. And these are our budget recommendations on the budget. I will come to this at the end and go down point by point. I just want to show you that it's there. We have motions to adopt each of the budgets. A couple of the units we have a small proviso for. And then there's one other motion that's very important, a motion made by Lonnie that we referred to yesterday, which is that the Pacifica National Board shall have an operating policy that requires changes to budget categories that exceed 10% or $50,000 to be forwarded to the appropriate LSB for approval and to the PMB for adoption at each quarterly in-person meeting. That refers to this issue of forecasting during the year. You get into the year, budgets are changing, you want to cut, you want to add money in any station unit. How does that get approved? The question was, what was the approval process during this year for that? Lonnie recommended that if it's over 10% or 50,000 in any budget category, and the categories are those gross categories, the total development expenses, total administrative expenses, total salaries and related, et cetera, those bottom lines of each of the sections in your budget, if those change by more than 10% or $50,000, that's what we agreed, it would come through the LSB and to the PMB. We also had a discussion about whether amounts smaller than that might be big variances in individual lines but didn't rise to that level, for example, would come to the NFC for approval, and the board might authorize the NFC to agree to this. And Lonnie, refresh my memory, are we calling this forecasting or reforecasting? Technically, it is reforecasting.
Okay.
It's a quarterly.
Right. That's a quarterly process, a quarterly So I'll come back to those. These are our motions. In our report, we made a couple of points. The first, that we recognize that the proposed budgets do not include funding for national Spanish language programming, and it's the intention of the committee to address this issue prior to the first quarterly budget forecast, which I just described. We had a disagreement with the cash analysis that was in the original CFO report that was distributed to the PMB, but the report in your board packet dated September 20th didn't include that, so I won't go into it.
The CFO has raised concerns about the potential threat to the network posed by budgets that don't adequately provide for unexpected contingencies, i.e., you think you're going to get a certain amount of money, you don't have enough money, what's your surplus, what are your reserves to allow you to bridge that gap. The committee shares that concern, absolutely. But we have issues with the way surpluses and reserves are accounted for that we feel don't clarify the position of the stations. And so I just want to run through that a little bit. So this is in the CFO report, the draft budget, and he has two versions, without waiver and with waiver. And what I just want to point you to here is the consolidated total at the bottom and the without waiver. What that means is if you don't include any surplus prior year funds in your budget, how much money do you actually generate as a surplus in this year? And that is that $919,000 for the year. Now, the issue here is that that amount, that, quote, surplus or deficit that's showing up in your budget, does not reflect the cash in the bank or the total amount of your reserves. Because in surplus prior year, you can have, like KPFA has, a lot of money in the bank, put only a portion of it in surplus prior year. Your actual reserves, in case of contingencies or what have you, what I want to point out here, so this is from the August financial, so this is not the end of the year. And what Lonnie does at each income statement is he projects, he shows the current year to date, but then he projects an annual total. The blue column in all these slides is what was budgeted. The green column is Lonnie's projected actual by the end of the year.
So you see that WTFW budgeted, this is the bottom line, called surplus deficit. And when we talk about having the 1 month,
what we're saying is that the bottom line in the budget or the income statement is going to show an amount equal to 1 month. I'll leave aside how it's calculated. So at the beginning of the year, when we passed their budget, WPFW said they were going to come out with the bottom line of $145,000. And to do that, they were going to use $86,000 of surplus prior year funds. That $86,000 is not their full amount of cash in the bank. They actually had more than that. They put that amount in this budget this year to get them to a bottom line equal to 1 month. As it happened, they did great. They only used $54,000 of surplus prior year funds, and they got to $198,000. So basically, they generated a full 1 month surplus out of operating expenses in FY05. They generated $143,000, which you calculate by $144,000, which you calculate by subtracting from the bottom line the amount of surplus prior year. Okay? They started that year with cash in the bank of $122,000. That doesn't tell the whole story because you need to know what their accounts payables and accounts receivables were. In other words, the demands on cash and what was due in. So that's just a rough guesstimate of position. But again, they budgeted to put $86,000 of that in. They only had to put $56,000 in, and they generated another $150,000. So if we assume that receivables and payables by the end of the year, by the close of FY05, and the audited balance sheet are comparable, then WPFW should end FY05 with an amount of cash that started with that $122,000 plus its net gain during the fiscal of $143,000 or about $265,000. Obviously, it can vary around, but that's rough. So the September 5 balance sheet will contain the information you need to determine how receivables and payables change, and you can get a better sense of the actual. So this again, WPFW, bottom line, 198, surplus prior year 55, net gain 143. How'd the other stations do? KPFT budgeted to use $60,000 of surplus prior year in order to get to a bottom line of, is that 109? 108. Sorry, that I should lower that. They used $60,000 surplus prior year and ended, according to the August statement, at 39. So a net loss. That's not right. it's a larger net loss than 20K, pardon me. But Lonnie says that I think they did better than that. The end of year is going to be better than that. KPFA, they budgeted to end the year with $433, which is here. They had to use no surplus prior year. In the event, they actually used $356K of surplus prior year to get to $377 in the bottom line, or a net gain of $22K. WBAI didn't use any surplus prior year, but showed a net loss of $165K. So their savings got eroded. And KPFK didn't budget any surplus prior year. Was supposed to gain, we targeted to have 260, we only made 150. So we had a net gain at K of 150K in FY05. For the whole network, Lonnie just showed you 853 in the bottom line, consolidated for the whole network, which also includes the national office and the radio archives. But to get there, 471K are in surplus prior year. So the net gain for the network in 05 is 382K.
If
yes.
It's all these numbers are from July 31st.
No, this is actually the August financials. We got the August income statement.
Including?
So what you have in your books, what was included in the board book is the July statement.
Right.
But since then, we've gotten the August statement.
That one is updated version?
This is the August statement numbers. They okay. don't. They differ in, by tens of thousands in
yes.
certain categories, and they'll differ
That's
again
right.
at the end
okay.
of September. This is rough. But basically, the network increased its assets by 382K over the course of this year. Where did we start? We started with cash in bank of $1,600,000. But again, there's this issue of receivables and payables. How much did those things change during the year? We won't know till we get the audited statement. But if we assume that receivables and payables are comparable, we started the year with 1.6 in the bank, million. Net gain of 382, about 1.99 or $2 million in the bank at the end of the year, which is pretty good for a network that 4 or 5 years ago was $4.8 million in debt. And so we talk a lot about how we're struggling, but somebody's got to recognize that level of performance. A community radio station went from $4.8 million in the hole to $6.8 million up in assets over that period when radio listenership was declining. Somebody ought to feel good about that. I think Lonnie deserves something of a hand for not just Lonnie, but obviously all the stations and everybody at the station who did the work to do that. Okay. So now the CFO report shows this with waiver and without waiver. And what the waiver is, you know, we don't actually have a formal policy on it, but we do. What it basically is about is whether the board in its budget authorization process is going to approve the use of surplus prior year funds in this year. The two stations that are saying they're going to do that are KPFA, which is going to use half of a 1 month, and KPFK, which is functionally going to use a full 1 month to get to that bottom line. So as a network, we're saying that at the end of 06, if everything goes according to plan, and it won't, we would have added another $919,000 to our assets. Okay, and again, that $919,000 isn't telling you what your actual reserves are, what you need, what you have in the bank, or what you could deal with as a financial shock. It just tells you what you did that year. If we take a beginning cash at the end of this fiscal, last fiscal, FY205 of $1.6 million, add to it the net gain during 2005 of $382, and assume that we're really going to do what we say we're going to do and have a net gain of $919, by the end of 06, we would have a total sum of cash on the order of $2.9 million, again, assuming no other change in net assets or liabilities on the balance sheet, and assuming all the projections are accurate, which they may not be. So when we're talking now, the issue that the National Finance Committee has is if the accounting of your surplus and all our discussion about surplus is about the bottom line, you don't really know what you have available to invest or what it's allocated for. All this sits in an undifferentiated account. So one of the things we're discussing is things like specific lines in the budget that represent contributions from current year operations into specific funds. A one-month reserve fund, which, as Lonnie said, you might use to pay debts in October before you have income in that fiscal. I've been advocating a severance fund, because any station that has to incur severance expenses is doing it usually because they don't have the money. So they're stuck. So it makes sense to have a national severance fund that everybody pays into and stations in distress can use. We might have a building fund that we're paying into to get PFW and BAI into new buildings. I heard somebody mention yesterday the idea of investments. What better investment than cutting the rent on our stations and buying real property and not having to participate in any, you know, other kind of investment thing. So, and there are any number of other reserves we as a board might identify. But if you specify that you're paying in your income statement into those reserves and you have separate reserve accounts, you know when they're full. You know when you have money available for other things. And at any given day, you can say, how much cash do we have available in that fund to do that? So that's the kind of thing that we on the Finance Committee want to work on. I won't mention this because in your board book it says there's a typo or an error. It says expenses are down between the 2 years. They're actually up between the 2 years, and Lonnie commented on that in his report. Something about the budget approval process. During the approval process, the work of the NFC and the LSBs was seriously hampered by the lack of clearly defined expense categories and standardized templates that show proposed annual budgets compared with prior year. That's just how you write it out to make it easy to understand. But the larger underlying problem is when you look at our budgets and our income statements, you see these line items, but it's hard to tell how much is being spent on any given project. Because, for example, all salaries are lumped into a salaries line. You don't know how much of those, how much of that effort is going into programming, how much of it's going into administration, how much of it is going into any of the things we do. So if you ask, how much does administration cost us as a total? You've got your administrative expense, but you've got a chunk of salaries in there too. If you ask the question, how much are we spending on affiliates program or digital distribution or any of those things, it's very hard to tell looking at the line items exactly where this is going on. The WBAI and KPFK local finance committees weren't aware of templates that were used for doing development calculations until very late in the process. Marnie Tattersall from KPFA and Jane Gatewood, the treasurer from PFW, independently generated comparison spreadsheets for use by their local finance committees. Similar efforts by other treasurers, notably KPFK's, were met at times with criticism. It's a work in progress. We hope to get this stuff clear and end a lot of the time that we spend just talking about what we mean by the numbers we see. Despite the handicaps, all the LSBs met to consider and approve their budgets for submission to KPFA, and our station KPFK did it so late that the CFO got it a couple of days, the final approved numbers a couple of days before producing the entire budget. That's a real problem. We can assign blame, but the bottom line is the absence of a firm budget timeline and processes in place was a problem in this year's work. And next year, we're going to do better. We're going to form a budget calendar very early in this fiscal to deal with that. It's the intention of the committee to, in the immediate future, to develop a proposed budget timeline with the possible inclusion of sanctions against local boards that fail to act in a timely fashion, and developing proposals for revised formats and streamlined production procedures for our financial statement. The other side of the sanctions against LSBs that fail to act has to be clarity in what they need to do, what when things need to be presented to them by management, et cetera, and we're going to work on that. A comment that's in the NFC report, the purpose of financial reporting should be to make clear to those making financial decisions the actual financial condition of the organization. We look forward to working to continue to improve the financial reporting so it becomes more transparent, more informative, and more useful in making budgeting decisions and monitoring the implementation. Okay, I'll go very quickly through this. The actual recommendations of the committee. Adopt the KPFA budget, which was approved by their LSB, with the provision that the GM develop and present an 18-month plan to reduce salaries as a percentage of listener support, to bring the ratio of salaries to listener support at KPFA in line with that of other units in the network. KPFA has a relatively high salaries to listener support ratio. It actually has the highest of the units. Adopt the KPFK budget approved by the board with the correction of a Scrivener's error, which will allocate $8,000 for LSB expenses as opposed to $10,000. adopt the KPFT budget approved unanimously by their local board, adopt the WPFW budget with revisions to the CPB grant income and free speech radio news expenses provided by the CFO as follows. These are just little adjustments that happened along the way. Adopt the WBAI budget as approved by the LSB with changes of the subsequent increases to CPB funding to 517,000 major donations to 325 salaries and related, et cetera, et cetera. All this is in your book. I'm not going to read it. You can find it in the book. There is also a motion, which I guess there's still some confusion about $25,000 in CPB funding and where it's going to be allocated. And it's, quite frankly, hard to track. Lonnie's shaking his head, too. We will hear from the New York directors, I think, about where that stands. But the motion was amended to state that the increase in CPB funding of $27,000, they're getting more than they expected, minus the restricted amount of the CPB grant, that's the funds that can only be used for national programming, be allocated to a development consultant. And the balance of 4,000, they don't have a development consultant now, and the balance of 4,867 be raised by community events as indicated in the initial proposal from the GM, major donors, donations remaining at 300,000. I'm sure we'll hold a discussion about that. We're recommending approval of the national office budget and the Pacifica Radio Archives budget, and we're recommending that the board adopt this reforecasting policy to make it very clear when an LSB is involved, and we will bring other things. The reforecasting policy should really help. I just want to say thank you, particularly to Jane Gatewood, who did an enormous amount of work on this report and tried to make it just informative, very non-confrontational, and did a tremendous amount of work, detailed work on the calls, and also to Casey McFall, who was great in gathering materials, keeping minutes, and all the rest. So it was definitely a team effort, and I want to thank them.
Are we going to have questions? Or,
We'll go ahead and entertain questions now, and I just want to thank both Lonnie and David for staying under their 20 minutes.
Yay!
Yeah.
Are your recommendations motions?
They're motions from the committee, yes. They are. I want to add one other thing. I think it'll be most helpful for us if we divide them and don't take them once and take each unit's budget, because there'll be discussion on each. It's not each unit, because the radio archives and the national office are separate units. We'll need to discuss it. It'll just be more efficient if we vote each separately.
Okay. One thing, can I recommend, Dave, as well, that you track amendments to those recommendations or those motions as they go around?
I'll write them down, and hopefully Donna will also write them down. And it would be great if people use these slips, because that's hard.
Okay.
Do you want your thing plugged in again? Shall I leave mine plugged in? Or?
Okay.
I also want to thank the finance committee and the fact that they did a lot of work. We spent many, many hours.
And the state of the year.
But I do think that the product overall is a better understanding of how the finances of the network work and the documents. So that's a good outcome.
Okay.
Thanks to Dave and to Casey again. I want to echo that sentiment as well. And to Jen.
Okay. Do you want to re-plug in, and then I'll go ahead and take a stack?
Yeah, what I would like to do is to bring to the attention of the board some of the recommendations that I made separate from that.
They are not in here?
They're in my CFO report, and what I might do is highlight the ones I think I would like to bring forward.
Okay. So I'll start just at this end of the table and go around. I have LaVarne. Rob, did I see your hand as well?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Was that 1 second? I'm just going to take a sec really quickly. You have a question?
Can I just ask about the process we're going to follow? Can we go with Dave's recommendation that we're not jumping all over the place, that all we do now is general questions, and then if anyone has a comment or a question about a specific budget, that we wait and do them in a logical order, finish one unit, vote on it, and move to the next one.
Okay.
On order? That would be appropriate for informal consideration of a set period. So we could go to informal consideration for a fixed period and then start processing the motion.
Okay. Do you want to make a proposal?
I'm asking Bob if that's acceptable.
Is that acceptable?
I don't quite understand what you mean, Dave.
Just that
if it's not informal consideration, then technically if we're in session, we have to have one motion on the table and be discussing the one motion. If we're not doing that, then you can consider it still part of our reports and just have it that way, or we could say we're going to do informal consideration for time certain and then move to processing our motions.